For those of you that don't know me, my name is Rick. I'm one of the new pastors here in Stellenbosch. We moved in December from Paul back to Stellenbosch, and we're really glad to be here. If my family and I look a bit tired, we're staying on a farm outside Stellenbosch, and there's a rooster. It's a big rooster, about this size. And I presume, I found out last night that it can stretch its neck very long because it can see the sunrise before the rest of Stellenbosch. I think it was like 3 o'clock this morning, it cock-a-doodle-dooed. So if I look tired, I don't feel that tired. I'm excited and the adrenaline is pumping and I'm excited to bring the Word of God. Just as an introduction, I had a great December holiday and actually it was too good for me. I rested so much that I really looked forward to coming back to work. And I hope there's more people struggling with what I struggle with. You know, it's actually a sin. You know, you get lazy and indifferent over the December holidays. And that's, maybe I shouldn't say it, but that's where my sermon originated from. Is that I realized I need to get back to the church big time. Because with my brothers and my sisters is where the fire is. And when I'm not surrounded with fiery brothers and sisters, you know, I tend to get lukewarm. So I applaud the guys going on missions, and I really think next year that's what I have to do because this holiday was way too long. So I just want to see, is there some more, you know, this is not good coming from a pastor, but some more backslidden people in the church this morning. Is there some sinners here, some lukewarm people? Be honest, please. I'm all alone up here and the spotlight's on me and lukewarm. Okay, because that's just what this morning is about, is that I'm really trusting God that this is going to fire us up. This is the first Sunday of 2013. And like my wife said, we really prayed last night and looking forward to this year. December's, I tend to end up in my nothing box. I think it's Mark Gungor who talks about the nothing box. You just sit with the remote and you do that. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? And the nothing box make me end up in the dog box with my wife and my kids. And then what happens then is usually I run from the dog box to the nothing box and I stay fit. But today we're going to all get out of the nothing boxes. We're going to get out of the dark boxes. Alida, my wife, said I should get a hobby. Maybe just get a hobby and, to stay out of the dark box and the nothing box. So I thought about it. I checked myself out in the mirror and I saw some hair growing from my ears. And I realized what's supposed to grow on my head now comes from my ears. So I went to Clicks and I got me one of those man, what do you call it? I think it's, almost wanted to say, it's not a procurement agency. You've got to help me with a pampering kit. You know, because I realized I'm going to end up looking like the Hobbit this year if I don't do something about this. So I just want to tell my wife there in the toddler's room, I've got a hobby now. It's a bi-monthly hobby. I trim my ear and my nose there. But okay, just seriously getting back to the sermon. I know there's some of you guys that's fired up. You know, you're ready for 2013, and then this sermon is not really for you, but you're still supposed to, you know, lit someone on fire today. That's your purpose. So if you're smoldering in your seat right now, just keep praying, because in a while we're gonna pray for one another and just consecrate this year to the Lord. What I realized during this time is just that if we stop eating the grace of God, if we stop nourishing ourselves with the Word of God, you know, we really end up in a bad spot. And that's what happened to me for a couple of days in December. And God's really challenging me with that. That's why I'm asking you guys if there's more people like that. I'm just throwing it out there that God really wants to come and do some great things this year in our lives. in us and through us. But we have to bring our hearts before Him. And my sermon's title this morning is "What's on Your Mind?" Oh, that's me. I can actually use the back of my head as a projector screen as well. But what's on your mind? And I want to seriously ask you guys this morning if we're fired up, if we're ready to let the kingdom of God come, to seek His righteousness first. You know, just be honest with yourself this morning. Are we ready to live out the vision that God has given this church, to reach the nations and the generations by making the disciples and raising up the leaders and planting a lot of churches? Because God's thoughts is so much bigger than our thoughts. And it's our challenge to get our minds to that place where God is this morning. So from the word go, that we can do what he called us to do. And let me just first read Romans 6 verse 11 here. You can follow with me there on the screen. It says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." And that's our challenge this morning, is to consecrate ourselves and say, "Lord, in this year we're going to bring our members, we're going to bring our gifts, we're going to bring our individual gifts, and we're going to bring our corporate gifts to you as members of righteousness, to do good works and to bear good fruit." That's the challenge that we have. That's what the Word of God challenges us with. And sin that Paul talks about here, sin is there to blind us from the goodness of God. You know, while I'm just going to read some scriptures, just to bring us to that place, to ingrain in us, to lay that foundation that we serve a good God. But we have to realize that in this year we have to hate sin. In this day we have to hate sin. In every hour we have to hate sin. Because sin comes and it splatters our vision of who God is and what God wants to establish. What He wants to do in us and through us. And how He wants to change the world. How He wants to change Stellenbosch and the Western Cape. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we in that place? And like we hear many times, that the purpose of sin is to miss the mark. And for every human being, the mark is Jesus Christ. That's the mark. That's who we have to hit. That's who we have to imitate. The holiness of God. The holiness of Jesus Christ. That's who we have to imitate. And sin comes in and tries to render us useless and bring us in that place where we're unfruitful. And that's what many times happens when the pressure is off. That's why I'm so glad to be back in the saddle. You know, I don't have to walk next to the horse again. And I wanna commend you guys for being in church as well, because we need each other just to be accountable to one another, to pray for one another, and to keep not just to keep a fire smoldering, but to keep it burning, to keep it burning high, to burn the sin out of our lives. I'm so grateful for church. I'm so grateful for fellowship. Not just drinking coffee afterwards, not just having a cookie or two, but grab a brother by the shoulder and pray. That's how we have to start this year. We started with praying. But we have to keep accountable to one another and say, "Brother and sister, look me in the eye and say, are you ready for this year?" Because God wants to move, and God wants to move big time. And I don't want us to be all condemned today. Sin conscious. That's not the idea of this day. We'll just end up like stale bread and old bacon if we keep talking about sin. But it's important that we come to a place today where we tell one another that, you know, I hate the sin in my life. I hate the indifference. I hate the complacency. I hate the passivity. I hate the active rebellion or the disobedience. I hate that. And I want to turn away from that, and I want to turn to Jesus. I want to hit the mark. I want to hit my Lord with my whole heart. I want to allow Him to come into every part of my being and touch me and challenge me and equip me and take me from glory to glory. Because in that we bring God glory. In Galatians 3 verse 1 to 3, we read the following. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Do you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You know, the enemy is very, very cunning. He doesn't come to us with a pitchfork and shining horns. He disguises sin in our lives. It comes in very subtly. It comes to steal, and it comes to destroy our lives. And this is the bewitching that Paul talks to the Galatians about here. He says, who bewitched you? Who made you move away from walking in faith, walking in the zeal of the Spirit, walking in that fire of God, excited about his things, super excited about his things, and moving to that place of dead works where you try to please God and you try to please man? Who bewitched you? One thing that I want us to realize this morning is that many times we get hurt and we get wounded spiritually, emotionally, and even physically, because we're busy with a war. We're in a war. And just like when you have a cut or a bruise or a fragmentation, you want help, but we shy away from that. I don't know which of you guys, I'm just coming, bringing it back to the dentist. Which of you guys like going to the dentist? The older I get, the less I like it. Because when I was a kid, at least I got a lollipop. I don't know why they give kids, you know, they give kids lollipops, some dentists do. I mean, they fix the thing and then they create a client again by giving the kid the lollipop. I'm sorry if there's dentists here, I don't want to offend you. I'm just curious why they do that. But I had to go to the dentist. I didn't want to go to the dentist, but the pain in my tooth just got so bad. But that lady fixed it. It took 800 Mandelas and 2 rounds of antibiotics, but I can eat again. But what pain many times do in our lives, what sin causes in our lives, it causes us to form a perception of who God is. And this is the bewitching that creeps into our lives. It comes and it dictates to us that we messed up. And God isn't good enough or loving enough to take us back, to equip us, to bring us to that place where we have zeal and we have fire again. And then we start forming our own ideas of who God is. We shy away from reading the scripture. We shy away from coming to church, from going to small group, from attending Bible school and the spiritual things where we grow in God. We shy away from those things because we start to believe the lies of the enemy instead of focusing on the goodness of God. And I'm so glad we sing so many songs of the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the love of God. And we have to focus on that. We have to keep going at that. Because that's what keeps us sane. Otherwise, we fall into a place many times where we think God is like Jeff of Survivor. You know, who sometimes say, okay, I'll go and tally the votes. And he tally the votes and then he say, the tribe has spoken. And we're so afraid of that, that we fall into that bewitched dead works where we try to rack up our own brownie points in heaven. And we think that, you know, that God grades us on a curve. And that depending on where we end up on that curve, you know, he beats us with a stick. And if that's not the way that we think, okay, if I'm going right over your head, that's the way that the world thinks about God. And that's the perception that we as believers on fire for the things of God and the goodness of God have to change. That's the good news that we have to take out there. That's the gospel that we have to take out there. I think many times God allow us, you know, to just experience a little bit what people who's lost experience in the world. Do we ask ourselves, what does the word lost mean anymore? When was the last time when you It's a morbid question this morning. Well, 35 degrees is starting to creep up there. But when was the last time that we felt we're not good enough for God to love us? That our sin is too much for God to love us? I suggest we not go there. But let us realize that is where a lot of people are in the world. That is where so many people, most of the people are in the world. They are lost. And they believe those lies that they're not good enough for God to reach out to them. That's the perception that we have to change. In Romans 6 verse 21, Paul writes, "But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The free gift of God is something that we cannot earn. The goodness of God is there for us to enjoy. It's something that we cannot earn. And yet many times we doubt in that. We start believing the lies of the enemy and we start doubting that. And that makes us ineffective. And that's the thing that I want you guys to cement in your hearts this morning for 2013, is that we serve a good God. We serve a very, very good God. I brought some scriptures with for free. Exodus 33 verse 19 says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to who I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Please say aloud with me, God is good. Okay, a little bit better than a New Year's hangover. God is good. Okay, that was like the 2nd of January, but we're getting there. Psalm 23 verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 25 verse 7 says, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." 145 verse 7, "They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." And then we know Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." And listen to this beauty, Titus 3 verse 4. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us." When the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. "Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That's awesome. That's not just a religious statement. That is life-changing truth permeating our hearts, touching us, changing us. It cuts through bone and marrow. It speaks clearly to us. And guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, from this foundation of God's goodness, we can challenge any dilemma in our lives. So whatever 2013 throws at you, you can challenge it from this platform, from this place of God's goodness. But when the enemy comes at you and start lying to you, you've got to go back to these scriptures. The Bible is full of them, where we have to see the goodness of God in the Old and the New Testament. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, we read that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I want you to see two words there. Liberty to the captives. and opening of the prison. The word prisoner. And like I said, we're in a war. And in a war, there's casualties of war. We get wounded and we get hurt. And in our quest to make disciples, in our quest to reach the world, you know, things happen to us. We get injured. We get offended. And we have to be honest with each one this morning, is that that's going to happen during this year. We have to expect that. And it's okay to come to a place where we say, you know, I'm not okay. But it's not okay for us to stay in that place, isolate ourselves, and keep saying, I'm not okay. We have to raise our hands and say, you know, I'm not okay. I need someone to pray with me. Because I need to get back on the battlefield again. I don't want to stay and I want to dwell in the hospital. I need to be there. I need to go there. I need some deliverance. I need some healing. I need someone to touch me. I need some love here, man. Tender, loving care. But I want to get out there again. I want to change the world. I need the goodness of God in my life now so that I can get healed and get out there. And I'm sure this morning there's some people that, as you're sitting here, during last year, you were hurt. And you haven't dealt with those stuff yet. You're sitting here and maybe you're still behind bars. You're still here either as a prisoner or as a captive. And the difference between the two is that a prisoner is just someone who's sitting with unforgiveness and unrepented sin in their lives. And a captive is a POW, a prisoner of war. You're not committing sin, or you're not harboring great offense or unforgiveness, but you believe the lies of the enemy. During your battles, you started believing certain lies. But the good news today is that in God's mercy, whether you're the victim of your own doing, or the victim of someone else's doing, or the victim of the devil and his demons doing, Jesus still has the key of that prison to set you free. He's still the one that died on the cross to buy your freedom. And you're the one that can bring forth that jailbreak. And this brings me to just the concept of repentance. That where many times, you know, it becomes a jargon in church. We tell people, you know, you just repent of that. But for many of us, the word repentance carries this, it invokes this idea of a shouting preacher on a stage. Hopefully I'm not shouting. If I'm shouting, turn down the volume, please. And it brings memories of negative and guilt-ridden, condemning emotions. And that's exactly the opposite of what God intended repentance to be. Martin Luther said, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. Our salvation starts with repentance. And our cross-bearing duty continues in repentance. It's a change of life. It's a change of attitude. You know the hostile metanoia. Maybe this is old news for some of you guys, but I know it's for someone. It's an active Greek word, metanoia, which means to have another mind. I asked this morning, what's on your mind this morning? Who is on your mind? What is the things that's on your mind? Metanoia means to change your mind and attitude and your purpose regarding sin. And for us as Christians, it means to put on the mind of Christ. Is Jesus on your mind? Is the things of Jesus on your mind? From our minds, our hearts, and our actions are challenged. It's changed. It brings forth life and life in abundance if we start with Jesus. I want to read you Psalm 51, the whole one. It's a long one. But see how David repented. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me now away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. So we see that what David does is he runs to God. He committed the act of adultery with Bathsheba, and he committed murder. But he knows that his God, he knew that his God was good, is good. He ran to God first and foremost. And that's the essence of repentance, is that we run to our good God no matter what. We run to him. And then we see he turns towards people. He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. That's the awesome thing for me about church and about small groups and where us as Christians gather and where we spend time with God as individuals, is that his Holy Spirit manifests that goodness and an atmosphere of trust is created. And it's a place where we can come into the light about lies that we believe. If we compare it to the truth of God, it's a place where we can bring unrepentant sin before God, where we can forgive, where we can release, where we can receive our healing. And that's something that a religious spirit always wants to hamper. The religious spirit always wants to stop that and break that trust. And I believe there's some people that's challenged with that. You've got a hard time opening up before people. Because, and maybe it's a legit reason. Maybe you've been hurt by people in the past. But that's what church is there for. And that's why we have to make ourselves vulnerable like David did. To come to that place where we say, God, in faith, I'm going to open up to you first. And I trust, Lord, that you fill me with your grace, fill me with your power, fill me with your healing and your goodness so that I can share. So that I can bring things in the light before a brother or a sister. And I can have a testimony that brings glory to you. Because God, I believe that your goodness in me can change me and it can change the world. Our faith isn't supposed to be personal and private. It's supposed to be public and practical as well. It's supposed to be in that place where it changes and it brings glory to God by helping to heal other people as well. And that's the difference between repentance and remorse. Remorse is always focused on ourselves. We're just saying we're sorry. But it's focused on ourselves. Repentance first focuses on God. And when we found our healing like David did, we can come to any place, to any person. We can go to God himself and be in his presence without shame, or without pride, without self-righteousness. We can go to people and we can say, you know, this is my testimony. The goodness of my God has brought healing in my life. I'm making such a fuss about this morning because I really believe that, feel it. It's actually common sense in the beginning of the year as well, that we have to consecrate ourselves. And that's what repentance starts out to do. Bring ourselves before God. Change our mind. Saying, Lord, I bring myself in line with what you want to do with me and through me this year.
In Matthew 3 verse 2, we see that John the Baptist started his career by preaching repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he said is, he said, there's a new way on its way. Jesus is the new way, and he's coming. Be ready. Jesus started by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in Matthew 4:17. The disciples went out and proclaimed that people should repent. That's why we have to grasp this thing of repentance. Because it's a command that we have to preach repentance. Because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It heals us so that we can heal and help other people. I want to read you Acts 27 verse 19. The lost salvation is determined by our repentance. Paul says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Let our repentance never this year stay focused on ourselves. Let's focus on allowing our repentance to bring healing and empowerment, so that we can bring healing to the nations, so that we can go out and make disciples and raise up leaders and plant churches for hubs where repentance can take place, where people can experience the goodness of God. If we stop repenting, we start to become lukewarm. In Matthew 11 verse 20, we read, then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. And in Revelation 2 verse 5, we read, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And God says this with a good attitude. He says it with all the love that's in him. Repent. There's fruit of repentance in Acts 3, verse 17, we read, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, this his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that they, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Jesus did his part. The Christ suffered. That is fulfilled. Let us do our part and repent and keep on repenting so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. Two more verses and then I'm done. Colossians 2 talks about the position that we find ourselves in, from where we should repent. Like a prop sucking in a scrum. He's in a certain position to collide with the other guy. It says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. We have to fight sin like victors, not like victims. And we have to know that we have the power to conquer sin. We have the license to repent because of what Jesus did on the cross. He canceled the sin in our lives. Don't let the devil tell you anything else this year. He canceled sin in our lives. We are positioned to repent and to experience the freedom that comes with that. It is a progressive thing that changes our minds, that changes our hearts, and that changes our actions. And in closing, I'm just reading Romans 2, verse 3 to 11. Can we stand this morning? And I just want us this morning not to focus on repentance now, but to focus on the goodness of God. And if you're comfortable with that, Can we maybe just for the next 2 minutes, just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit and allow God just to come and stir in our hearts. Just talk to the Lord now and just say, Lord, just come and reveal in my life if there's stuff that I have to repent of. If there's unforgiveness that I'm harboring, Lord, that I forgot about. If there's lies that I believe about you, Lord. I just feel there's some people that you, it's as if your mind are being clamped in a sense. It's, and you're trying to reach God, but your mind's really in the way. We want to pray with you today. And just trust God that He brings breakthrough and brings a release in your life and sets you free in that. And I want to challenge you today to bring things into the light in the house of God. Don't walk out here. This is the safe place. This is an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is present, where trust is established. And we can just bring our load to the Lord. Just pray with some people. But before we do that, let's just pray in the Spirit. Now, Lord, this morning we just want to come and declare, Lord, that, Lord, by patience and well-doing, Lord, we seek for your glory, Lord, and for honor, Lord, and for immortality, Lord, and Jesus Christ, Lord. And God, we want to declare today, Lord, that we hate the sin in our lives, Lord. And God, we want to turn in the beginning of this year, Lord, as a church, Father God, Lord, as individuals, Lord, as husbands and wives, Lord, as families, Lord. We want to make that conscious decision, Lord, just to walk away, Lord, from the lies, Lord. Holy Spirit, we want to open the doors of our houses, Lord, our spiritual houses, Lord, every room, Lord. We ask that you will enter, Lord. Not just the living room, Lord. Every room, Lord. The kitchen, Lord Jesus. The basement, Lord. Everywhere, Lord, we ask that you will come in, Lord. And God, we ask that you will shine your light, Lord. That good light of yours, Lord. On everything, Father God, Lord, that's hindering us from hitting the mark, from becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will reveal right now, Lord, just the things, Lord, that's hidden in our lives, Lord. That's hampering us, Lord, from being effective in the way that you want us to be effective, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your grace is sufficient here today, Lord, to heal and to deliver, Lord, and to set free. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to ask you, if you want prayer this morning, you feel out of it for this year, to come to the front. There's facilitators that they will pray with you guys. Otherwise, I want you guys, you know, just to pray with one another. Let's just consecrate ourselves, consecrate our year, consecrate one another. Pray a prayer of blessing over each other. Is there anyone else that we just want to come to the front for prayer? I also want to just extend the invitation that if there's people here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that now is an opportunity to do that. Now is an opportunity to repent of the past, to turn away from that, and to turn to Jesus, to start the walk with Him. Is there anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Can you maybe just raise your hand and say, you know, I want to make right with the Lord today. I'm not a disciple of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I want to make right with the Lord today. Is there anyone like that?
I just saw a picture of this for somebody specifically here. It's like a rope, or almost like a stretch band, and this band has been stretching and stretching, and you're almost like seeing the cracks already. It feels to you like you're going to snap. You know, as a very ding gaan net to break, and also it. intensiteit in jou lewe op die oomblik van pressure op jou. And the Lord just wants to relieve that, because you just think right now in your life that that thing is going to break, it's going to, and everything is going to fall apart. And if you need prayer for that, why don't you just come to the front? Because I really believe God wants to just set you free, wants to relieve that. There's a spiritual, demonic thing that's pressurizing you that wants this thing to break, and then you're going to just like experience a complete explosion of I don't know what, but if you can identify with that, why don't you come to the front, because we want to just pray with you and take authority over that spirit that is at work in your life right now, because you're not supposed to fight it alone. Amen.
Also believe maybe there's some people who battle with trust. Rick was talking about, just come out with your stuff, because this is a place where you can relax and where you can trust. But you don't feel that you can, actually. And the fact of the matter is, we are meant to be a family, and maybe some of us have gotten hurt, like you said, confiding maybe in somebody who didn't honor your confidence, and you find that you just cannot trust people anymore, even in the church. And I think the Lord wants to start there by just, by His power, break that fear of confiding in somebody. He will do it by His own power. You will not be able to do it by yourself. Is there anybody like that? Could you also just come forward so we can pray for you? Is there anybody like that? The Lord just wants to restore in your heart to be able to trust again.